Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Brendan Sorsby's headed to the NFL's supplemental draft after weeks of legal back and forth. Texas Tech and Sorsby confirmed they are parting ways in announcements last night. The 22-year-old quarterback had been granted an injunction last week on the NCAA's eligibility ruling after it was found Sorsby gambled on sports during his time as a player at Indiana and at Cincinnati. Texas Tech had remained steadfast in their efforts to play Sorsby this season, but mounting pressure Monday from several states' attorneys general and the Big 12 Conference, along with a June 22nd supplemental draft deadline, likely moved Sorsby to make the decision to leave Lubbock and prepare for the NFL. There hasn't been a supplemental draft since 2023. Nobody was selected that year. The NFL did not comment on the Sorsby news Monday, but will likely hold the supplemental draft in late July. In college hoops, the Buckeye backcourt got a boost Monday. Five-star guard L.J. Smith reclassified to the class of 2026. The 6'4 combo guard from North Carolina is the eighth new member of Jake Diebler's team this fall. This update is sponsored by RCD Every Supercenter.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo, the boys with you for the next three. We were inspired yesterday, so we're going to have a little fun with Jalen Brunson's status in New York City and try to identify which Columbus athletes would fit on our Mount Rushmore of those type of athletes. Dom, what's he been up to? He's been sort of retired for a week. He'll join us at 10:30 with an update on that. 11 o'clock, we open up with the real truth. Mr. Portsline is going to join us at 11:30. Is there anything that we can learn from how the Carolina Canes were able to win Lord Stanley's Cup? So this hit me a week or 10 days ago. And if you listen regularly, you know that we've been all over the Sorsby stuff for really a couple of months. There's so many stages of it. Just the absolute stupefied reaction of, oh, he got an injunction, he's going to play, all of the fallout that's come from it, the initial report all the way back a couple of months ago, how could you possibly play with this? A couple of months ago, I remember saying that I thought anything he was doing legally was in an effort to get a change in status that would allow him to enter the NFL supplemental draft. But then that ruling happened. And when that ruling happened in Lubbock, Texas, you thought to yourself, well, okay, maybe he could play. And I want to say a week ago today, we had a real truth with Brendan Sorsby. And it hit me probably the last 7 or 10 days. Why would you put yourself through this if you didn't have to? If he was your son, if he was your brother, your nephew, your best friend's kid, and he was staring down the barrel of perpetual scrutiny, villain of college football, why would you put yourself through that if you didn't have to? And I think we had a question last week in The Real Truth, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, where we said, will Brendan Sorsby play for Texas Tech? And I said, I didn't think he would. I think that inevitably he would enter the NFL supplemental draft, because why would you? Why would you put yourself through it? Why would you put yourself through that level of scrutiny? Why would you be raked over the coals day in and day out? Everybody coming for you. We talked about media strategy. Okay, you got to do a one-on-one with somebody. Should you go to media days? What's that first Friday going to be when you play Houston? How is that one going to be received? The booze on the field, all of it. My God, in the end, he's in his early 20s. Did he make a big-time mistake? Absolutely. Does he have a gambling addiction? Absolutely. Is he being treated for that? Yeah. He's going through that right now. But does he deserve to be the villain of college football for his entire last year playing collegiate football? And my answer to that would be, if I were him, no. No, I wouldn't. I'm out. I'm good. I'll see you on down the road. Mentioned this with Paul, mentioned this with Doug and others last week. Like, this was always, to me, the off-ramp for Brendan Sorsby. When the water got too hot and started to boil, get the hell out. You don't need it. And the more and more I talked around people in the NFL, the consensus I kept hearing back was second-round pick in the supplemental draft. Well, okay. Second-round supplemental pick in the NFL supplemental draft is someone who's going to be curated. That's someone who's going to be taken care of. If you're giving up a second-round pick, you're going to put them in a position to succeed. I believe Brendan Sorsby will be put in a position to succeed. So with all of these factors starting to come into play, you just said to yourself, why would you put yourself through that? If it was your son, if he was your nephew, your brother, would you advise him to continue to do this when there was a viable option, when the professional league was waiting for you and a second round pick was most likely where you were going to end up? And there's a lot of buzz, by the way, around that league that maybe he won't face any suspension at all. And I know Baker said he doesn't think he should, that he won't face any suspension at all from the National Football League, because it's a very different players association than it was when Terrell Pryor was suspended, you know, well over a decade ago, nearly 15 years ago. So this was the off ramp. This was always the off ramp. And last 7 to 10 days, anytime we talked about it, I just kept coming back to this. If you were Brendan Sorsby, why would you put up with it? Why wouldn't you just get out of it? And people pushed back and said, well, yeah, he's going to have to pay back the money. By the way, pretty good flex out of Cody Campbell. We're good. We don't need your money back. So he's going to get the money anyway, which is pretty remarkable. But even if he did have to pay the money back, he's still looking at second round NFL draft pick money. He still made $900,000 last year at Cincinnati. He is not someone who is starving in any way, shape, or form. This is not his last lifeline. He has a full life of lifelines ahead of him. Why? I just kept coming back to that. And in the end, so did he. And so did his advisors. And he chose the off-ramp that, to me, always made the most sense. And Texas Tech's response we can get into. I think there's some stuff on the NCAA side of things that is maybe there is some glimmer of hope for those of you who want guardrails, those of us who want guardrails and want some sort of rules to be followed. Maybe there's a lesson here there. A little bit later on, the NFL side of it. How will the NFL view him? Should the Cleveland Browns have an interest in him? There's a lot of layers to this thing. But at the root of it, at the heart of it, when it came time for him to make this decision last night, and Bake sent me this text, I was out shooting with the boys and I got the notification and I just said, well, yeah, why? Why would you put yourself through it? And he finally got there too. And so he'll be drafted by an NFL team next month in a supplemental draft. And this, to me, is now over. It's open, shut, closed. The drama's behind him. He can get on with his life. And so can Texas Tech. This was always the logical destination for me with this thing.
Sanity's prevailed in the sport for once. Good to see that everybody kind of made the right decision.
I don't think anybody did, Reese. I think he did.
Sure.
I think everybody else didn't. And I think he said, and his family said, I don't want to suffer the slings and arrows for eternity for this.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Billy the Kid of college football for an entire season every time I take the field. I don't want to be booed, jeered. Why would anybody choose that?
And the right decision was made.
Yeah.
For everybody in this instance, and now everybody can move on. I'm interested to see where Tech goes for a quarterback. Now they've become a little bit more interesting, in my opinion, just because of that situation. And with the Big 12, rarely have I seen everybody unified on something in the sport like they were on Sorsby. And then as state's attorneys general, different ones, it was Utah, Oklahoma, Kansas, I think yesterday got involved against Texas's attorney general. And this seemed to be a fight that nobody was really prepared for how this thing was going to go. And I remember for the past couple weeks just thinking, man, Sorsby can just leave this. And he should. And he did. And so now maybe this is a path to some sanity in the sport in other areas, not just eligibility issues and not just the professionalization, not just having, I guess, quasi-professionals play for your teams.
Sorsby may have ultimately in this made the decision that was the right one, but I do give a ton of credit to everyone involved here except Texas Tech. Because as you mentioned, you said a word there, Reese, that we don't get ever in college athletics right now, and that's unified. And the Big 12 got unified. And they got unified quick. And I think Texas Tech started to realize that this isn't going to end well for us, because even if we drag this out in legal processes, those legal processes are going to go on after the season. And I do think maybe Texas Tech, or maybe the Big 12, was going to say, Texas Tech, you're forfeit all your games this year if he plays. And if you're Texas Tech, that doesn't get you in the college football playoff. That doesn't give you a shot at that. And maybe that gets reversed, but it's going to be too late by the time it does. So I do commend everybody in this situation, because I think everybody made the right decision. And they banded together and said, we don't care what the courts say. We are not letting this happen. And then I think Sorsby and Texas Tech kind of had no choice in this. And maybe this was Brendan Sorsby's plan all along, as you said, Bo, to get the initially, courts to rule him ineligible so he could go to the NFL in the supplemental draft. But I'm just glad, and I think we're going to talk about this more, but maybe like these conferences, and maybe the NCAA has a little more stroke than we think.
They are if they're unified, which is something they never are. If they're unified, though, they can get something done. We're going to get into that coming up in a little bit next. I don't know that there has been a bigger flex from a financial standpoint than Cody Campbell saying yesterday they're not going to seek a return of any of the money paid to Sorsby. Like, if that's not something that in this crazy world, and I suppose it's appropriate. I mean, their mascot is a red raider who dresses like Zorro and runs on the field. One of their alternate mascots is Yosemite Sam. That's who they are. They're outlaws. They are leaning all the way into this in every way, and they have for 2 months. And to say, we don't need the money back, you come here, you're getting all your money. Because what's one of the big deals with NIL? We've seen this, several lawsuits. I haven't gotten my money. This happened at Florida, basketball and football. I haven't gotten my money. Florida State basketball, I haven't gotten my money. Cody Campbell saying at Texas Tech, you're going to get your money whether you play or not. If we make an agreement with you financially, you are going to see that money. But in the end, this was Sorsby, I believe, 100% saying, I'm not signing up for that, and I have options. That's his side of it. The statement, I'm grateful for the support of my family, my Tech coaching staff, teammates, the community, and so many others who have encouraged me to address and learn about this important issue. As my journey continues, I remain fully committed to and focused on being the best I can be, both on and off the field. It's a statement written by an attorney, as is obvious. The other side of this, and this is perhaps the more significant side for where we are in the sport, is there a lesson learned here for the rest of the NCAA? And remember, by NCAA, we're talking about the member institutions. Looky what happens when you actually band together. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny for us today with temperatures warmer and highs in the upper 70s all across central Ohio. And then for tonight, maybe a few stray showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds throughout the day with temperatures topping out in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
You know, one thing that I think surprised so many people about that ruling from a couple of weeks ago is this was the one thing that you couldn't do. This is the one thing. It was the rest of it, we can find a roadmap back in college sports, but betting on on the sport that you play, betting in general, but especially betting on the sport that you play, betting on the team that you're on is the one thing you can't do because the outcomes of games cannot be called into question. And so the collective outrage that came from so many in the media, from so many fans, but most especially from so many member institutions, that outrage was something that manifested over the last couple of days in a way that I don't even think Texas Tech could have potentially figured out. When you have your own conference saying, hey, we may not have you eligible for this. Reese, you mentioned the state's attorney generals and a couple of states saying we're going to sue you too. It just became this overwhelming wave of pushback that Texas Tech simply could not ignore. There was no way to simply ignore it. We said this last week. Would this be something, if you're the College Football Playoff Committee, that you just say, hey, unless you win the Big 12, you're not getting in. Like, just not rank them. It's a completely subjective process. This isn't the BCS where there's a data points that are put in. Like, it's a subjective process. When that stuff would have all, was all put in there on Texas Tech, they could have just said, you're out. So, do I think Sorsby came to this of his own? Yeah. Do I think he was pushed there by this giant wave, the tsunami of pushback that came from around the sport? Absolutely. And is there a lesson here? Yeah. I think there probably is. And I think, by the way, shame on all of you in the NCAA. You've got a problem with all of these things that have been happening all of this time, and you've done nothing to enforce any of the rules that are actually on the books. Nothing. None of you have done anything. It's CYA. How do I make sure I'm taken care of? Every single one of them is viewing this entirely through their own prism and how they can have success and bend the rules and push it as much as they can. Is everybody in Power Four breaking something that is a rule in college athletics currently? You're damn right they are. It's happening here. It's happening everywhere because nothing's enforceable. Well, what they did yesterday, and by they, I mean the NCAA, because guess what? Texas Tech's part of the NCAA. So is everybody in the Big 12. So is everybody in the SEC, the Big 10, the ACC, everywhere else. They're all the NCAA. They're all the member institutions. They banded together. And they said, this is a bridge too far. We're not having it. And they could do this on other things too. They're more powerful in this instance. What is the number one thing they fear more than anything else because they always lose? Court of law. In this instance, they superseded a court of law.
This was the can they couldn't kick down the road.
Yeah.
This was a eligibility issue unlike anything else. Because this wasn't like the NCAA needed to go in or the College Sports Commission, if that's even still a thing, and investigate anything. They had all the digital receipts. They had the admission. They had Brendan Sorsby going into rehab for all of this. So all of it was just open and shut. I guess as much as you can open and close anything in collegiate athletics. And this, in my opinion, could not have been allowed to pass. And so, however it was going to shape out, this was different. And this was different than Michigan. This was different than Tatgate. This was even different than Art Schleister when he was a quarterback at Ohio State. Because I'd heard that thrown around a lot. And I didn't know, obviously not having been alive when he was a quarterback at Ohio State, how known his gambling was. With Sorsby, you had the digital receipts. You had the player's own admission. You had Texas Tech saying, yes, but. And you couldn't, this wasn't a thing you could just yes, but. And so I'm hoping that schools start to realize that we don't have to yes, but things anymore. That if something is wrong, we can look at it and collectively say, that is wrong. We're not going to allow that.
Mm-hmm. This is something you knew in real time. And you could do something about it. It's not something that was investigated after the fact.
No.
It was not something that came out and you heard rumors or rumblings of. Like, you had everything right there. And to me, you could not let this kid play. Now, in the same situation, should you go back and punish Cincinnati and Indiana?
Cincinnati's getting off the hook bigly in this. Because to suggest that they knew nothing is silly.
But again, what do you do to them? I don't know. Like, do you take wins away? What does that matter, right? Like,
no,
do you hit them? Everybody can
just move on.
Do you hit them financially? Who knows? But the whole after the fact penalties, they're kind of pointless. This, though, you could affect the person who did it in real time, and you could say, "Hey, listen, you forfeited your right to play mm-hmm. for us anymore. Now, you can move on and you can continue your career elsewhere, but you forfeited your right, your eligibility to play NCAA football. You did the one thing that mm-hmm. has always been sacred, and not just the NCAA, but of all of sports. It's the one thing that you couldn't do, and everybody yeah. knows it. So, good luck in the NFL. We hope you have a good career, but you're not playing here anymore.
Yeah, that's what they did. They lost. They lost in court, and then they said, well, we're not quite done fighting on this. And then they actually band together. And so that, to me, is where I am with this. This was a layup. To your point, Bake, they didn't have to investigate everything. Reese, you made this point. It was all there. You didn't have to have a news gathering entity go and investigate the wrongdoings. They're digital receipts. This isn't, you know, Texas A&M giving Eric Dickerson a gold Trans Am and trying to track that down. That's not what this is. This is digital receipts. It is known. It is done. He's acknowledged it. He's in rehab. That's it. A court said, actually, no, he's eligible to play. And the NCAA member institutions, conferences, because that's who they all are, said, actually, no. This we're not going to have this. And they fought back. And if Brendan Sorsi wanted to continue to fight this, could he have played this year at Texas Tech? Yes, I do believe that he would have. I don't think that they were going to get any injunction that would have overturned the one that was granted a couple of weeks ago. If he wanted to continue to fight this, and if Texas Tech wanted to continue to fight this, I do believe this would have blown over. I do believe that he would have played by week three against Houston on the Friday, and I think he would have represented Texas Tech. And I think in by the time we would have got to September, October, most people would have kind of just forgotten about it, because this is how the world works nowadays. But they didn't. They pushed back, and the pressure of it, the tsunami of negative attention, became too much for him and maybe Texas Tech to bear. Maybe. And there is a lesson in that, I do believe, for all of these coaches, presidents, athletic directors, conferences who want change. Get together and make change. This was something you all unified behind. Everybody behind this, except Texas Tech. But as a group, as a collective, unified, you can create change. You want to change the calendar? Get on the same page. You want to enforce true NIL? Get on the same page. You want to change the transfer portal? Get on the same page. It takes leadership. It takes leadership to be able to do it. But if you do that, you can get change. And that's what happened here. This was one thing that everybody rallied behind. Find the next one thing that you want everybody to rally behind, and you can do that too. So I think there is a lesson in it. Do I think anything will come of it? I'm hopeful. Because it's June, why not be? What's the NFL side of this for Sorsby? Should the Cleveland Browns be interested in Brendan Sorsby? We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends, right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up,
Jew? Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday. It was interesting on this Sorsby thing last night. A lot of the NFL folks were like, well, he doesn't have a change in eligibility designation. How is he going to get around that? A lot of the college football folks, writers, were saying that too on social once, you know, he changed his intent. And then his attorney said, well, actually, we're just going to withdraw the injunction. And now he's ineligible by the NCAA, and problem solved. So now the question becomes, okay, there's several from the NFL perspective. And I think you ought to think about where the Browns are in all of this, because they're in our state and obviously they're on our air. How do you view him as a prospect? Are you concerned about what he did? Is it beyond even what he did, but rather the addictive nature of what he did Is that something that is a red flag? My guess is on both of those fronts it would be. But as is the case with everything in life, is the talent something that it supersedes any concern? And essentially, pun intended, is he worth the gamble? That's it. That's what the NFL is going to decide. Field Yates weighed in on this yesterday on his social on Sorsby, how he has him as a talent and where he could end up.
From a talent standpoint, make no mistake about it. If Brendan Sorsby played well in 2026, he was going to go in the first round of 2027. This guy's legit. He had a chance to go maybe in the top 10 picks if things broke really right during his time at Texas Tech. This guy's got good size. Very good athlete. A sick runner. 18 rushing touchdowns over the past two seasons. He is a gamer. He's got serious moxie. His second reaction skills are all legit. This guy's got the goods to play in the NFL. I thought last year the accuracy waxed and waned too much, but he's got starting quarterback upside in the NFL. Which team might be interested? Hard not to think about a team like the New York Jets. Still looking for a long-term answer. Plenty of draft capital right now. Geno Smith going to be the starter with Kate Klubnik behind him. Beyond that, could a team like the Cleveland Browns also still looking for a long-term answer? They have additional draft capital to work with as well after the Myles Garrett trade. And then, of course, finally, the Arizona Cardinals, a team that kind of on the periphery here, not sure they would make a ton of sense because of the Carson Beck selection, but Beck drafted at the top of the third round, not enough to fully stamp him as the guy that they are going to build around going forward. I think Sorsby is going to end up being taken in the second round of the supplemental draft.
So the only thing pushback on him on Fields there is the notion that the Arizona Cardinals wouldn't be interested because Carson Beck's on the roster. Like that would be the thing that they'd be, well, we got to take care of Carson Beck. I don't think that's going to be it at all. Everything he said is what I've heard from NFL folks. Second round supplemental. That's where he's going. May sneak first. Who knows? My hunch is that the NFL is far more concerned about the addictive nature than the actual acts, if that makes sense. The NFL red flags, this can go be something as simple as video games. Remember the clause in Kyler Murray's contract? Remember what the Browns dealt with Jed Wills from the video games, the addictive nature of it. So they see anything like that, that's a red flag to them. I don't think that they're worried about him betting on sports. I mean, this is someone who had a gambling addiction. The stuff that he was betting on largely was utter nonsense. It was $90,000 of bets, but it was really a bunch of small bets over and over again on some really crazy stuff. I do not think that the NFL will be too harsh on that side of it, and certainly not enough to where he would get past the second round because of everything Field just said there. This is a really talented player. You do not get the opportunity to get a first round talent at that position with a second round pick very often. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes you stumble into one. Sure, that happens and you stumble into it. But this is a guy who talent wise, most people in the league would say has consensus first round talent. The comp I've gotten from him the most is Jay Cutler, with the arm and the mobility. So the question is, if you guys are both Browns fans, would you want them to kick the tires on Brendan Sorsby?
When it comes down to it, no. Relative to what I think other teams are going to be willing to put out there for Sorsby, like a second round pick, I don't feel is worth it considering what the Browns have in their quarterback room right now. Unless Todd Monken hates all the quarterbacks in his room right now or doesn't think that any of them have the potential to lead Cleveland into the future. Because they'll have a month to do the due diligence on Sorsby, additional due diligence. And if the Browns, or really if any team's got him as a first round grade on their draft board, I don't see why a second round wouldn't be what you would willing to give up to get a jump on 2027, because you can and then spend your first round pick in 2027 on another place of need. So, right now, no. If they did, it would be very alarming for me and what that would mean for this season. But I think every team right now should absolutely look into this, because if he's first round graded, if you think he's first round enough, 6'3", big quarterback, he's 22, and you feel that he's done enough in his personal life to get over the gambling addiction, then why wouldn't it be worth jumping on that? And that, the Carson Beck thing's hilarious. Because that's a good argument 3 years ago, and everybody loved Carson Beck. It's not the case now. So you looked at 2027 and you say, everybody thinks it's going to be good, but yeah. You don't know. If you can get a better feel with Sorsby in the next month, okay, kick the tires on it.
So I'm kind of torn on this because I'm not sure Brennan Sorsby is a guy at the next level. Like the dude that's going to lead you be a franchise quarterback. But there's also part of me that wants the Browns to have 22 quarterbacks in their room until they get it right. Just keep bringing them in until you get one right. I don't know, though, if Sorsby is better than Watson or Shador. So if the Browns did this, it would just continue the narrative that the Browns are a joke of an organization. So I don't know if the Browns want to do that unless they really, really believe in this guy.
Or unless they don't really, really believe in the guys they have. And only they know that. They're the only ones who know that. They know it, though. They know what they have in that quarterback room. I don't. They're tight-lipped. I mean, Todd's an open book. By the way, he commented about this at the golf outing and said, you know, that there would be some red flags. No, not. But, you know, things can change. Information can change. And so, I mean, you don't hold anybody accountable for those type of things. I wouldn't. It'll be replayed again if they decided to go that way. But I think they know how they view their room. If you're Sorsby, I mean, here's the thing we know about, here's the thing we know about the Browns under Andrew Berry in terms of asset accumulation. If they can get talent for a discount, they do it. Jerry Jeudy, Amari Cooper. There's a history of this. They'll do this. If they see a talent that they can get a discount, and whether they end up playing in Cleveland or if they use it as an asset for something else, all of those things are possible. I think from Sorsby's perspective, the team that I've always thought would have made the most sense would have been the Rams before they took Ty Simpson, because there's a lot of similarities. Big arm, all of those things. He could have sat for 2 years behind Matthew Stafford. The team that, to me, this makes all the sense in the world for is the one a little over 2 hours east. It's Pittsburgh. This is the spot. That's the spot. A year behind Rodgers, McCarthy's there to nurture. They're obviously not crazy about Will Howard, or they don't take Drew Aller. It seems like Drew Aller's a pretty big project in terms of just mechanically where he needs to be versus where he is. Now all of a sudden you get a chance to get a first round talent, and as a second round pick, to me they are a team that makes sense. I think there's going to be. I don't think he's going past the second round. I don't. I think he's going to be a second-round supplemental pick. Would I be shocked if somebody put a one up? So in order to answer that question, you have to say to yourself, well, and this is why I keep coming back to the Rams, you have to look and you have to say, who is a team that would be willing to give up what they believe is going to be a late one? Those are the type of teams you'd have to consider for that. And that's where you end up with, that's to me why Rams made a lot of sense. Like everybody else that's really good, like would Seattle make sense? Sam Darnold's, it's a 3-year deal, is all he is in Seattle. They're going to be really good. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. You can't find a bigger outpost in the league than Seattle. It's a beautiful city, but it's a long way away. Like the media attention would be nothing in Seattle. No one's going out there to cover it. Is that one? Maybe. That's the interest. Like, is it? What about Detroit behind Goff? Is that one?
I think the Detroit one's really interesting because Jared Goff is a guy that twice now got you there, but didn't get you over the hump, and he's not getting any younger. He makes a lot of money. That's an interesting one to me.
Honestly, if you can stash a first round quarterback for a second or a third round pick, I don't know if there's a team that wouldn't.
That's why I said he's not getting past the second round, Reese.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the league is going to see first round quarterback talent and say, yeah, I'm into that.
Let's keep that for a year.
Yeah.
Then if then you don't have to worry about 2027.
No.
Not really.
No.
I keep coming back in my head, and I don't know why, on this to the Baltimore Ravens.
So you've got 2 years left on Lamar's deal. He's 29. And they're talking about doing a long-term extension there. It would be something that would fit their DNA from the standpoint of, now you certainly would upset Lamar because you're not going to, you know, that's something that you can't build an asset around as
well.
Or
you motivate him.
Well, sure, if he needs it. I mean, he's a two-time MVP. If he needs that, I mean, he did kind of was part of an orchestrated coaching change that happened there as well. So I think about them, Philly, all of those teams that are really smart. You think about them because you can get talent at a discount. And that's the thing that is so appealing about these teams. I don't see, like, for his sake, I hope it's not the Jets. I hope it's not, Arizona honestly makes a lot of sense because they're just a quarterback away. They could absolutely just kick the tires on him. And, hell, he could play all year for them. He's better than the guys they got. They could start him week one.
Could you imagine if they do that with him? Say they give up their second round pick.
Yeah.
And then next year they're still picking at the top of that draft and can get players to help him later.
Like Jeremiah.
Well, you could trade out. Like if they end up being terrible at number one, you could trade out of one for somebody to go get the quarterback, drop to three or four, and still get Jeremiah. Yeah. I mean, you got options. He's going to provide a team with a lot of options. It's a fascinating story that came to probably a pretty predictive conclusion if you paid attention to the things we've been saying over the last couple of months. This is a pretty cool one, and a big-time Christmas in June for Jake Diebler, we think. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. And
an ice. I can get things done.
Go to the store, clean the house, whatever you got to do.
Play golf. Does that count as getting things done?
No.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And hey, guys, when it comes to making a big decision like the ring, you don't wing it. That's why I trust my friends at Diamond Seller. For nearly 80 years, their families helped generations of couples celebrate life's biggest moments, exceptional quality, larger diamonds, and better value. And guys, here's the best part. They're going to walk you through it step by step so you know you're getting it right. Whether you're ready to propose or ready to upgrade, visit Diamond Seller, Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center. Learn more at diamondseller.com. Congratulations to our guy, Threes. He will be victory bell ringing. That will be at the Illinois game on September 26th. He is getting the honor in homage to being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame later this year. Could not happen to a better guy. Interesting story on how this came out. So this was five-star defensive lineman Marcus Facato made a video recapping his official visit last month. And in that video, Ryan is caught telling visitors that Threes will be the victory bell ringer for the Buckeyes September 26th home game against Illinois. So very, very cool honor there for Threes. What I'm curious about is how quickly can he get back to the sidelines? He always lamented his 40 time. I mean, what we got a lot of stairs to climb. He's got to run down a tunnel. Somebody better have a camera on that.
This is the time the Ohio State Army ROTC can really flex and have him belay out of the tower.
Oh, zip line?
Right. This victory bell ringing is sponsored by Ohio State Army ROTC.
They had Brutus do that from Texas last year, zip line down into the field. So maybe, I believe there's probably an elevator that Threes can catch him down pretty quick.
His knees are great.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's looking great. I think he could do the sprint, but I mean, a zip line would be pretty money.
Now, Bo, if they had the victory bell, timed out like I've always said they should have had it timed out. This could be a problem, but they do it too soon, so he'll get some. He'll have some time to get down there.
Yeah, your idea was it should happen right as they run out, right?
It should lead right into the bells of Hell's
into the
bells.
Hell's bells. Yeah, and then away we go. I should text him. I wonder if he'd be interested in rappelling or ziplining down to the sideline. I think both would be pretty cool. That would be very cool. This is interesting. Five-star guard L.J. Smith, who has been committed to the Buckeyes since last November, announced Monday that he is reclassifying to the 2026 class and immediately bolstering Ohio State's backcourt this season. I've said this a million times. I don't have the answer to it. No one's ever really given me a straight answer to it. I have no idea how all of these kids who have the commitments that they have athletically are academically so aligned that they can graduate high school early by an entire year. It happens all the time. I don't know how it's done. It's remarkable to me. I'm about ready to have a freshman. I cannot imagine like NBC as a junior being like, yeah, Dad, I'm ready to go to Pepperdine. Like, I just don't see it. I don't understand how that's able to get done. And he's pretty dang good academically. So I don't know how they do it, but they do it. So he reclasses. Jake weighed in on this. He was on the Buckeye Show last night, I do believe. Let's hear what Jake has to say about this.
Yeah, I think it's different, right? Because then not only is he going to be here for the whole year, but he's going to be here in time before the summer's over. And I think that summer period's critical. You know, it's really important from a strength and conditioning standpoint. It's important from a offensive and defensive foundation installation standpoint. And, you know, he's going to get here. We'll get all his testing. We utilize the sports science department at Ohio State. We do a ton of testing just to see where guys are, where their deficiencies are from a movement pattern. And then he'll hop in there, get caught up, and, you know, kind of we'll just keep it rolling through the summer goes. But I think, listen, he's, you know, if we didn't feel like he could come in and be impactful and he didn't feel like he could be impactful, we wouldn't have done this. So we're excited, you know, to have him join us. He's different than all the other perimeter players we have, and you know, I think that's a good thing.
Jake is the only one who has the real answer to this, and his staff has the real answer to this. These are the two questions I have. Are there enough minutes, and are we sure there's enough money? I mean, how many guards can you play? How many minutes are there for them? Now, this kid's a five-star, but he's 17. He's a 17-year-old kid, so just physically, just think about that. He's 6'4", 180. That's pretty slight. So, like, physically, can he get up to speed? In the old days, this is a no-brainer. You put him on whatever their equivalent of body by Mick is, and you get him physically ready, and he kind of slow plays it in year one, and in year two, he's ready to go. But these are not the old days. And if he doesn't have the experience that he wants as a 17-year-old here, he hits the portal, and away you go. So, minutes-wise, I'm very curious, where are the minutes? Whose minutes is he going to drain from? And then from a financial standpoint, the way that I understood it is that now there's always more money in the banana stand, but the way I understood it is they were kind of capped financially with payouts for to keep their current roster and Anthony Thompson. So now, I mean, this is a five-star kid, like you promised him a lot. So now where's that compensation is coming from somewhere. So those two things I think are really interesting in this, and I'm wondering how prepared they were for all of it. Jake seems like they were, but man, that's a big change from this late in the game, mid-June. Now,
we'll do the real truth at 11, but the last part of the quote that we just played where Jake says if he wasn't ready, we wouldn't have him. I don't know if that's necessarily the real truth, because this to me seems like with a lot of reclassifications, the kids want to go in now, and because he's a five-star and he's from North Carolina, you say, okay, we'll do what we can to make this work. But I can't imagine, you know, what was, with you talk about the financial allocations, already four guys on this roster. So now LJ comes in, he's the eighth new player on this roster. That's, you've got to find some money for him, and you've got to do it quickly, because if you don't allow him to reclassify and join, does he decommit?
Sure.
So Steve Hellwagon, I believe it was, had said this had been rumored for a while. So I'm guessing Ohio State has been working on this for a while, and they've had all of those things figured out and sorted out. Michi Johnson did this. Matthew Grujicic was 17 last year. So that gives me a little pause. It's hard for a 17-year-old to come into the Big Ten and play. But this is a kid that I believe him and Anthony Thompson both are in the top eight of ranked recruits that Ohio State has had since the year 2000. So that is something that makes you feel good. Also, He was the youngest kid by a year, I think they said, on his U-17 team, and he dominated. So that makes you feel a little better. I know that's not the Big Ten, but he's used to being an underage kids playing against guys that are older than him. And the ultimate thing here is if this dude has the talent, get him on the court. I don't need to see, no offense to these guys, I don't need to see Chris Givens the third. I don't need to see Justin Pippen. If this dude's ready, get him out there and let him play.
Yeah, getting him ready and getting him ready to play. And then the thing that I think Jake's going to have a PhD in is kind of like psychologist. Because kids were promised things here, minutes-wise. That's how this game is played, that they're not going to get. Someone's not going to get. There just aren't enough minutes to go around. You can't have that many small guards. So you can only play at most two at a time. We saw that last year. You can't play three small guards. So we're going to be fascinating to see how all of that goes. Really talented kid, though, and shouldn't take the shine off, you know, 2 5-stars on the basketball side in one class, which is pretty damn real. Coming up next, we were inspired by Jalen Brunson. Who is the Columbus Jalen Brunson? And no, non-Buckeyes. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese. Sir Brendan Sorsby's headed to the NFL. The 22-year-old quarterback announced plans to enter the supplemental draft on Monday. Texas Tech had committed to start Sorsby this season after getting an injunction last week against the NCAA's eligibility ruling. This was after Sorsby was caught gambling on sports while at Indiana and at Cincinnati. The NFL hasn't had a supplemental draft since 2023. They'll likely hold one in late July. In baseball Monday, the Guardians were off. Cleveland heads to Milwaukee Tuesday for a series with the Brewers. Guardians are tied with the White Sox for the top spot in the AL Central. In Cincinnati last night, the Reds blanked the Mets 12-0. Redlegs led 9-0 after 2 innings. Both teams are back at Great American tonight at 7:10. And in college hoops, the Buckeye backcourt got a boost Monday. 5-star guard LJ Smith reclassified into the class of 2026. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or online at rcdrv.com.
Bo could quit today and become the school drop offline coordinator. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
We got a hell of a predicament here on the here at the homestead. Remember yesterday at the end of the show, I said Buddy Garrity had rolled in something. So he rolled in something and then rolled in mud and was just a mess. And he spends, I would say, 66% of his time in the house, and then the rest of the time he's outside. We got an electric fence, a couple of acres, he can run around, all of those things. My wife was at ground zero trying to figure out how to deal with the stench of whatever he rolled in. The hitch in the giddy up here is I do not have my full sense of smell that I used to have. So remember, I can't smell certain things at all. Some things smell the same. For example, coffee, peanut butter, and feces all smell the same, which is crazy. But that's the reality. I can't differentiate between those three smells. They all smell exactly the same to me. Which you would say, is that a really bad thing or is it a good thing? I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it. But one of the byproducts of this is I can't smell what he got into. Okay. So they were trying to explain it to me. To me, he smells normal because, again, I don't have my sense of smell that I used to have. So to me, he smells normal. They say that it continues to linger. We have settled on, just with my background of dealing with animals and dog behavior and animal behavior through the years, I've settled on that he rolled in something that was dead. Dogs love to do this. They love to roll in dead things, and that smell is one that, to me, checks the boxes of the way that they described it. So we shampoo him, get him all cleaned up, all slicked up, and he's ready to go. And then last night at like 10 o'clock, he's in the basement watching TV. I think we were watching an Avatar movie or something. And my wife goes, I can still smell it. And I'm going, I can't help you. I don't know if you can or not. So that led to DEFCON 1. Now we're calling groomers. Can we get him in at 8 a.m. this morning? What can we do to get schedules to get him in this in so he can get clean, get all of this done? At one point, she said, should we just shave him to shave all the hair off and all the stench out of him? I'm like, well, I don't know if you want to shave a golden retriever. I don't think that's probably the win for him. He wouldn't be too happy about that. There is no real get out of jail free card on this. But I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I couldn't think of anything else that she told me as she was cleaning it emitted like a yellow color, and that's dead animal is kind of gets that yellow color to it. It just has to be what it is. But I've never been more handicapped by the fact that I can't smell it. But the way they're describing it, that's what it seems to me.
This time of the year, by the back door, I've got a bottle of shampoo. Just if Odie comes in and I'm like, I don't know about that, he gets a hose in the shampoo immediately. I'm not even playing around with it.
Not messing around.
Because he'll do the same thing that I'm assuming Buddy does. Is he'll just his head will go into something, then his shoulder, yep. Then his backside, and then his tail, and then all of a sudden he's all over the couch, he's over the carpet, and whatever was on him is now all over those things too.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. You just described it.
Even though we'd like to.
No, he's cooked. He's cooked. So I don't know. We'll see. But no real solution today. So he's kind of like in he's not exactly Andy Dufresne in the hole, but he's like in a holding cell. He's kind of in a holding cell on his own right now as we're trying to track down what the cause of this is. Although I think I have a pretty good idea. I had no idea. I guess in a way it's kind of beneficial that I can't smell it because he doesn't bother me at all. So
yeah, you're good.
I'm fine. Jalen Brunson etched his name in immortality in New York with his performance in the NBA Finals and really this entire postseason. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and the idea being athletes who are disproportionately loved in their home markets versus everywhere else doesn't mean that they're not great everywhere else, but are particularly beloved in those home markets. And one of the ones I used yesterday as an example of this was Jim Tressel, who is obviously our current lieutenant governor and is beloved here. If you ask people around the country to name the 5 to 10 best college coaches of the last 50 years, I don't know if Tress would make that list. I don't. That seems blasphemous to you out there listening and probably maybe even to both of you, but I don't know if he would make that list nationally. Meantime, here, he's on a short list of most beloved people to ever have anything to do with the Scarlet and Gray. And I think in the state of Ohio, too. Beyond that, I'm not so sure. Another great example of this is Bernie Kosar. Love Bernie. He is more beloved. Zagura said this once. Bernie Kosar, and I think he's right. Bernie Kosar is more beloved in Cleveland than Joe Montana is in San Francisco. I think that's probably true. That he probably is, that there is a level of disproportionate love because of what a certain player represents. When you have that conversation, and we started thinking about that from a Cleveland perspective, a Cincinnati perspective, it's easier there because they've had major professional sports for a very, very long time. It's easy here if you include Buckeyes. If you don't, it gets a little bit more challenging. In terms of athletes who are disproportionately loved here that maybe are not appreciated around the country the same way. And if you take Ohio State out of it, it gets pretty tricky to try to come up with, if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of Columbus sports entities who are not Buckeyes, who are beloved here specifically, and you start doing Blue Jackets and Crew, and you start talking about people who are in maybe non-Big Four, thinking about Bobby Rahal, thinking about certainly Buster Douglas, those type of guys. If you expand it beyond to even high school coaches or players who were incredible high school athletes here or who are incredibly beloved, this has happened too, where there are guys who struck a nerve for whatever reason are completely beloved. There are coaches here who are high school coaches who are completely beloved in the sport. And so when you start to do this from a Columbus, non-Ohio State perspective, you're going to have to jog your memory a little bit. You guys both grew up here. If you take the Buckeyes out of it, and I say, who is the most beloved athlete in this town who did not attend Ohio State, what is your answer?
Jack Nicklaus.
Pretty good one. But is he disproportionately beloved?
But he attended Ohio State.
Well,
that's true, but his biggest success.
State, yeah. Yeah, not famous for Ohio State.
I also thought about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's an interesting one.
The Arnold Fitness Expo means not only to the city economically, but what it kind of means to fitness expos all over the world. I know it's not necessarily sports and games, but athletically.
Sure.
I think beloved, and it's warranted. I think the most beloved Columbus athlete is probably Jack Nicklaus.
Non-Ohio State, even though he went to Ohio State.
Yeah, just, you know, because most people consider him the greatest golfer of all time, grew up in Upper Arlington, mm-hmm. the Memorial Tournament, all of that. The Jalen Brunson aspect of this is very interesting, with more beloved here than maybe he is or should be everywhere. And I think maybe even doing this, we're disrespecting Jalen Brunson a little bit. Like, I think this dude's a little better, and I understand why we're doing it. And you're right, New York, Jalen Brunson can do whatever he wants in New York now, but I think most of the country or most NBA fans don't think he's one of the best players in the game.
I think he's Jeter.
Yeah, he's
pretty, I think he's Jeter. So I'm not trying to disrespect him. I think he's Jeter. I think Jeter is disproportionately loved in New York. Like, nobody would say Derek Jeter's the greatest shortstop of all time. Nobody would say that. New Yorkers would say that. They would try to make an argument. It's a difficult one.
Oh, in 5 years, you're going to hear Jalen Brunson's the best point guard of all time.
Absolutely you are. Absolutely you are.
I thought of two right away, for one for the Crew and one for the Blue Jackets. The one for the Crew, I would say, is Frankie Hajduk.
I had Brian McBride for my Crew representative.
See, and I think Brian McBride did so much internationally, and a lot of people thought he was the best player in soccer for a while, at least in America, that I didn't think Brian McBride, but Frankie Hajduk, like, Crew fans love Frankie Hajduk, and he's the guy out there leading the charge and a lot of stuff with the Crew. Mm-hmm. So he's the one I thought immediately, and the other one for the Blue Jackets, and I hate to even say this because we all love him, but Jody Shelley. You still see more Jody Shelley 45 jerseys at Jackets games than almost any other. And Jody was great at what he did. But nobody, and no Jackets fan is saying he's the best player ever in Blue Jackets history, but he is adored.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with on the Jody side of it, and by the way, I think Jody would love to be in this conversation. My hunch is he would love it, is that he's been omnipresent since his retirement on television. So we've seen him. I mean, he's a Shelley time. I mean, like, he's so ensconced. It's an interesting one. I think that the non-team sport guys make it very interesting. We got to figure out what to do with Jack. We'll continue this coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny for us today, with temperatures warmer and highs in the upper 70s all across central Ohio. And then for tonight, maybe a few stray showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds throughout the day with temperatures topping out in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly eight decades, Easton Sawmill. They'll take care of you. I assure you of that. I think Jack is on this list. And I think that the case that you make for Jack, other than the obvious, is that while he is respected, known nationally, globally, all of it, he is revered and beloved here. Just beyond reproach. I'd say
Jack starts the list.
Yeah, I think the differentiator is just the beloved, revered the way he is here. I think that is, I mean, he's Jack, for God's sakes, but like, I do think that's part of it. The other one that I think deserves a great deal of consideration on something like this is Buster Douglas. I think Buster deserves a great deal of consideration on this, because I think that for a lot of people, Buster is the guy who beat Mike Tyson. I think in Columbus, he's the heavyweight champion of the world. So that delineation, I think, would put Buster in great consideration to be on a list of four. Go ahead, Bick.
So that was such an interesting one to me. And your point on that is pretty good, which I didn't see it that way at first, because I think, wow, this guy made it to the pinnacle of his sport. He was not only the heavyweight champion of the world, but he knocked out Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people think he's a one-hit wonder. And he kind of was.
Yeah, I think that
hit, though.
Yeah, and I think here, I mean, there were parades. Every time Buster's announced, whether it's at a Blue Jackets game, a Crew game, a Buckeye game, it's heavyweight champion of the world. I don't know. I think Buster has a hell of a case. The other individual sport one is Bobby Rahal with winning the Indy 500. And that's one that, you know, Jim Truman and all of that, you know, winning the Indy 500 in 1986. I think that one is for consideration. But I think if you go Jack and Buster in the non-team sports, and then if you're looking for Crew and Blue Jackets to fill out the other two, then it gets a little bit interesting. You mentioned Brian McBride. Bake, you mentioned Frankie Hayduk. Both of those would be very good. One guy here, when I first got here, who was revered was Guillermo Barrascalotto. He won Player of the Year in MLS. They won the MLS Cup when he was the best player on the team and basically was, I mean, he was Geppetto. He controlled everything that they did in the attack when they won MLS Cup for the first time. So I think that combination, those three, now there could be guys that this would be a brother bone conversation in terms of guys that maybe we're not thinking of that we should be when it comes to the Crew, who would be their representative on all of those things. You could make an argument it's Dr. Pete and the Haslams for being a part of saving it. But if you do Crew players, I think that's an interesting one in terms of who you could even put this on the poll, quite honestly, like which Crew player represents the most beloved, not the best, but most beloved Crew player of all time.
I mean, Cucho was on a trajectory.
He was.
Of he was being that.
Tornado.
I think of Brad Friedel, the goaltender who had some success with Team USA, and then Federico Higuain, who was
spectacular.
I believe, isn't he the coach of Crew 2 now? Or he's coaching somewhere. There's been a lot of good ones, and I mean, maybe the most beloved is Brian McBride. I was just kind of thinking, like, the soccer world in general saw how great he was and knew how good he was.
Well, Frankie played U.S. national team too. He was on a World Cup team. You're right on McBride kind of being the face of American soccer, one of them, in the mid-90s, and I think he would be on that list. That would be one we'd need to phone a friend. We'd need to phone Brother Bone and say, who is the most beloved Crew player that would represent on this list? We're more beloved here than anywhere else. I think we did a pretty good job of naming some of them. The Blue Jackets one is tricky. You mentioned Jody. Bob was revered here and beloved here. Rick.
Zach.
Nash. Zach certainly would be. Yeah, I wonder where Zach stacks alongside Rick and Bob. I mean, Zach's still here. He hasn't demanded a trade. Rick did. Bob left in free agency because he didn't want to compensate him as richly as others.
I think in general, Rick Nash is probably still number one. Now, I guess you'd have to talk to which Jackets fans, because Rick did ask out and mm-hmm. Zach chose to stay. And mm-hmm. as of right now, he's still in. So
yep.
Rick Nash and Zach, I think right there. I think goalie Bob is below those two right now. I don't know if he should be, though.
The other thing, I mean, the thing with goalie Bob is the language part of it. You know, he didn't talk much here. you know, there's pretty good language barrier here. I'll tell you that for a time, I don't know that there was anybody who was more popular than Artemi Panarin. I mean, like, for a minute. You know, that was a comet, him, here.
Yeah, that all got destroyed, though, at the end.
No, I know. I'm just saying, for a moment in time, like, I would... Is Artemi Panarin more beloved by the Rangers or the Blue Jackets?
I don't think either right now.
Probably not. But yeah. Like, if you ask the fan base in terms of when he was there, I wonder, you know, where he would be more beloved. He's not the correct answer for this. I'm just saying this is what sports fandom does.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It puts disproportionate praise sometimes or love on a player who maybe isn't viewed that way everywhere else. Jack, universally known, but revered and beloved here. Buster, universally known, differently viewed here. It's tricky when you do those two sports, though. When you do Crew and Blue Jackets, it's a trickier conversation. We could put it on the poll.
So I'm just finishing this one about the most beloved Crew player of all time. I've got Hayduk, McBride, Scaletto, Hernandez, or other. Because Cucho's the fourth option.
Yeah, I mean, he was... Yeah, I'm fine with that list. And then for Blue Jackets, do Z, Nash, Bob. Z will win because he's still here.
Ron Tugnutt, love?
Ron Tugnutt was pretty damn popular. What about Torts?
Hitch?
Maybe just do an other.
What about Torts? People here love Torts.
Boone? Cam? I think Jody Shelley's more beloved. Like, I think that if we're doing those three, I think the fourth would be Jody Shelley.
So you got Nash, Bob,
as far as beloved, and Jody?
Yeah.
Is the fourth one Jody or Torts?
Jody. We'll go play
it. I think it's Jody.
Okay. So you got those four and then those four.
Because you have people that didn't even see Jody play that still know Jody as a part of the team with the broadcasts.
Yes. Yeah. Zane weighing in on social. If we go with irrationally loved in Columbus for soccer, Hayduk is the choice. McBride was loved in Chicago. GBS was loved in Argentina. Frankie didn't have the same reach. The other two did. Maybe Lamar Hunt for soccer and building the first stadium. Yeah, lots of Frankie stuff. Snag saying Frankie as well was that type of stuff. This is an interesting one for Troy. Certainly followed her career. Dublin Coffins, Abby Steiner, unbelievable at Kentucky. 2022 is amazing watching her in the NCAAs and the World Championships as well. She was spectacular. Oh, my God. Clint, what about Randy Macho Man Savage? Did we get him?
Columbus born.
Yeah. I mean, you know my feelings.
Did we get Mach? I mean, jeez.
You know my feelings.
He's universally beloved, though, isn't it?
I think so.
I wonder how many people don't... I wonder of, because it's 2026, if more people now would know him by his appearance in Spider-Man, or if anybody remembers he was in the first Spider-Man.
I didn't know he was in the first Spider-Man.
He was Bonesaw.
What?
Yeah.
Who's the
Spider-Man? The first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
What? He was in Spider-Man? Oh my God, he was? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is like totally roided, like head about to explode, Mach.
Well, yeah.
He was Bonesaw?
Bonesaw is ready.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we'll get the answer to this. So we'll do a Blue Jacket one and we'll do a Crew one. And they will fill in the other two places opposite Buster and Jack. And we'll unveil that at like 11:45. We'll 11:46, something like that. We'll unveil that list. We'll ask Uncle Dami, who's been around for all of this and who has had nothing to do for the last week other than track down Bigfoot. He's up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by Green and Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green and Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville, and online at greenandsons.com.
Did you find Bigfoot yet?
I'll tell you what, that was amazing. Have you been there?
No. I saw you and the little fella bouncing around there. I had no idea.
What, they have the it's a Bigfoot walk.
Bigfoot walk.
They have the walk. You can walk around and look at Bigfoot. And, I mean, there was all kinds of signs. We saw a hut or a nest, a Bigfoot nest.
Trees
that, yeah, there was a tree that clearly only Bigfoot could have moved that way.
Hold on just a second here. Hold on, just so we're clear. Yeah. Just so we're clear, the idea is that the Bigfoot nests. It's a mammal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they live in a nest.
They not a hut.
The trees. No. It's not. It could look like a hut, but it's just a pile of sticks, and they make like a little hut, a nest. How it goes. That's how it goes. I even got my daughter to go in one.
You got Kels to go in the nest?
Yeah, I said go in there, and I said just watch where you step.
Yeah, that's incredible. Amazing. Where were you so the people know? I saw it, but I mean, tell the people where you were.
Olentangy Indian Caverns, and then we went down into the caves.
What'd you find down there?
It was stalactites, stalagmites, or whatever. I don't know. It was very wet down there.
Cool, too, right? Very cool, which is nice on a hot day.
It was 55 degrees, no humidity. It was very wet, had a musty smell, though. But it was great. I'm telling you, if you've not been to Olentangy Indian Caverns, it's worth going. It's pretty cool.
Let me ask this.
They have a petting zoo, but they had me at Bigfoot.
Well, that's going to have you every time. Do you feel as strongly about the fact that there's a Yeti as there is a Bigfoot?
They're the same.
Oh, same.
They're the same.
No difference.
It's all tied in with, and it could be tied in with that Skinwalker Ranch and all that business. You know, the portals. You know, I mean, you and I need to get together.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Now that I've slowed down a little bit, and I'll educate you a little bit. I'll show you some things. Have you ever seen the Skinwalker Ranch series?
No. Every time you've mentioned this once before, and as soon as you mention it, I just think to myself, are we sure that we can say that on the radio? Are we sure that I can Google that? On
a
work computer.
It is a science show. It is a science show.
The way it sounds does not sound science-y.
That's what they call it. The Skinwalker is it's a Native American thing, and the Skinwalker becomes wolves, and then they go into portals. It's very scientific.
How are you doing? How are you doing without having, you know, going into the mothership here?
It's weird. It really has. It you know, here's what someone asked me, you know, and people have been so great everywhere I go. Dom, how, you know, can, and, you know, when you go on vacation, you know, you're on vacation, but you're counting down the days till you have to go back, right?
Sure. Yeah.
You know how that goes? You know, man, my vacation's over in like 6 days and 5 days. And, you know, when you go, now I don't feel that. And it's just weird, you know. Kels calls up, and she's home on maternity leave, and so we've been hanging, and it's been fun, and taking the grandkids here, there, and everywhere. You know, it's been fun. Kels and I, I'll tell you what we want to do next.
Let's
go. Do you know the most haunted place in Ohio?
Well, I haven't. I'll tell you the scariest place in Ohio that I would never want to go, but maybe you have something that's also most haunted. Go ahead.
The Ohio Reformatory, where they filmed Shawshank Redemption.
No. Of course, that was my answer as well. You do not take those grandbabies in there, Dommy.
Well, I'm not going to take them, but Kels and I are going to go. I think I'm going to go, and I think I'm going to check it out. And they have two tours, the paranormal or the movies. They've made like five movies there.
Dommy,
you want to go with me? Do you want to go with me?
I'm not going around Halloween, I'll tell you that, because they do that crazy haunted house thing there. I'm not going there for that. Forget it. You couldn't pay me enough to go there.
What is wrong with you? I thought you were just...
You're the one who wants to go to an old prison where there's paranormal stuff. I don't want to walk in that place.
You're scared of birds. Well, I mean, you know what? If you know what you're dealing with, you're okay.
I'll go with you in the summer. I'll meet you there in the summer, I'll do it then. Well, I'm not
I'm
doing.
We'll go. I'm not going. I'm not saying Halloween. We'll go now. Me and you. We'll just go. And
they call
we'll,
like
do a little. We'll do a little video tribute.
It's like Hell in the Cell or something like that. That might be a WWE event. I'm not sure, but I think they've like.
What do you want?
It's like you go to
there. I'm not asking. No. For that.
I don't want any part of it. And when's the last time you were by it? No. When's the last time you were by that place?
Long time. But have you been in it?
No. We used to drive by it years ago when we would go up to the lake. There was a bunch of different ways depending on where we lived. We lived in several different houses in town. But when we lived in Grandview, we would go up 71 to go to the lake, and then we would get off at Mansfield, and I would drive by that place. And if I drove by it like at night, I just got the heebie. It's just a scary place, man. It's a scary place.
Well, we should go. We'll just go. We'll just go in just there, go. Me and you, and no just see what deal. Goes on. We can Power bring around. A couple people with us. Just pile oh around God. With the ghosts.
Oh, know? My God. When's the last time you saw The Shawshank Redemption?
I watch anytime it's on, I like it. Don't you like that movie?
Yeah, I mean, I think Morgan Freeman
was great in it. Mm-hmm. Just it's a classic.
Yeah, it really is. It's an all-timer. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I didn't even know about the place being the scariest place till I asked ChatGTP. ChatGTP helps me with a lot of stuff.
Be careful with that, because it's taking notes on everything you ask.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your Instagram is going to be...
Are they going to write a book about my idiot questions?
They might. And all of a sudden, your Instagram is going to be filled with, you know, abandoned prisons... That you're going to want to go visit, and that ain't going to be fun.
Well, I didn't know that was going to be one of the things. We were just talking to ChatGTP, and then it kind of we were having. You can have like a conversation with it. It's amazing. Sure.
Yeah, and you can also have conversations with real people. I'm available if you ever need to talk.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, but you know, I mean, I'm trying to learn, you know.
We were trying to learn, and
Bigfoot led to all this craziness. You know?
Look where you're at. You're an absolute wormhole here. We were talking about non-Ohio State most beloved athletes in Central Ohio that are maybe more beloved here than even they are around the country, or more appreciated. And the two that we settled on for sure were Jack and Buster. That are just completely beloved here, different levels, obviously, but completely beloved here. And then branching out beyond that, who are some guys that didn't play at Ohio State who are just beloved here? Whether that's, is it Crew guys? Is it Blue Jacket guys? Is there Clippers that you can remember? And I even mentioned Bobby Rahal winning the Indy 500. Obviously not here, but
Bobby Rahal would definitely be one. He, you know, what he did, and he had a parade down, you know, Broad Street. Mm-hmm. Jack obviously leads the list. You're so correct on that. But Ohio State, it's hard to get away from Ohio State because Ohio State has such a big following. Sure. You know, you think about some of the great baseball players. You know, Frank Howard was from here. Paul O'Neill. Yeah. None of those guys. You know, Paul now lives in Cincinnati, but Paul was big time here when he helped the Reds win the World Series. Oh, I mean, but Ohio State has such a big footprint. You know what I mean?
The one I use for Ohio State to kind of think about it from their perspective, who's really beloved here that maybe wouldn't be completely beloved everywhere, is Tress. Tress is beloved here, and I don't know that he gets like the national respect or love that he deserves.
I'll tell you another guy that, you know, is just, and he should be, is Arch Griffin. And I don't know that he gets that, you know, but in Columbus, Ohio, he's complete royalty, you know. In the state of Ohio, he's complete royalty. I mean, you don't get any bigger than Archie Griffin. I think you're spot on with, Ohio State has so many, you know, you think about Lucas and Havlicek and those kind of guys. I mean, we've got the greatest athletes ever, but, you know, so many of them have their names tied to Ohio State in one way or another.
Well, I think there's even recent guys, too. Like, I think about Braxton. who was so instrumental in Urban's early success and so beloved here. But I mean, I think oftentimes it's forgotten when people talk about like the great players of the 2010s. That's just a recent guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a lot. I mean, what was it? Thurman Munson was an
Ohio. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And there was a horse racing too, wasn't there? Was it Darby Dan or something that was in the Kentucky Derby and all that stuff?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The Galbraith family had,
right.
Matter of fact, where their stud farm was right there on, right there on Broad Street out, you know, you could see a Darby Dan farm. It was amazing. I remember back in the day, Mr. Galbraith would have for the Ohio State Michigan game, would bring us all out to Darby Dan Farms. It was amazing. And he had quite the spread. And now I think it's a public park. You can go see it, but the racetrack is there and the stables and all that stuff.
You told me once that you helped with the breeding when they would have a stud that you'd get down there and get hands on.
Didn't you tell me that? Regular radio or what channel is this? What in the name of God?
How did they? I thought you did that.
I thought
you were out there helping out or something with that.
Most of I did a story on that. You know,
that's what
it
I
was.
Thought.
We went.
But you know, I'm not making this up.
No, we did. We went to do a story because Ohio. Now this was harness racing. Ohio is a very big harness racing state, and one of the biggest broodmare farms in America is down near Washington Courthouse. And Moose and I went down, but oh my goodness, I'm like, what the heck are we going to put on TV here?
Don't show Gio that. He's not ready yet.
Oh my goodness.
Hey,
hello.
You tell me when I'll meet you at the Ohio reformatory.
Yeah,
I knew
you were a chicken when it came to birds, but I can't believe you'd
be not going.
I want to go because of the movies.
That's fine. I'll go with you. I'm just not going in the fall. I'll meet you there. We can document it, but I'm not going in the fall.
So it's less scary in the summer outside the fall?
I'm not doing the haunted house thing. I'm not doing that. I'll do the other stuff, but no haunted house.
Are you serious? You're that scared of a haunted house?
Yeah, I'm not going in that place at a haunted house at
night. Have you ever been to any haunted houses?
Yes. Awful. No thanks.
And you don't like it, do you?
No time for it. Don't like
it. No one messes with me in there. Come on, we'll go. We'll have fun. They need to worry about me. Some guy with a mask on. Give me a break.
I think we solved everything. We'll talk again soon.
Goodbye.
See you, buddy. There he goes. Little Tuesdays with Tiberi for you. I think we kind of checked all the boxes we needed to on that one. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing on a Tuesday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, so we talked yesterday about the World Cup hydration breaks. Over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal reported Fox was selling 30-second ad spots during the hydration breaks at roughly $200,000 for early round games and around $750,000 for games featuring the U.S. men's national team. Our friends at Awful Announcing did the math with 4 commercials per hydration break that rounds to about 8 available spots per game. Across 104 World Cup matches, that's 832 potential in-game commercials that Fox can sell. Offal Announcing's conservative estimate of $300,000 per spot would rake in $249.6 million from just the commercials sold during hydration breaks for Fox. If that average climbed to $400,000, Fox's total could climb to $332.8 million. Thing or not a thing?
You guys watch The Wire, the HBO series?
Sure did.
There's a great, one of my favorite characters. I mean, there's a million great characters, but there's a Detective Freeman in there who says, when you follow the money, you don't know what the blank you're going to get. So as soon as I saw hydration breaks and breaking from play, because they've had hydration breaks before, but they didn't take commercial breaks. As soon as you saw that, you say, well, what's this about? This is about the money. And that's all it is. And yeah, this, none of this is surprising because that's what it's about. And they took something that was fundamental to the sport, 45 minutes nonstop, no breaks, two halves, and they changed it because money dictated it.
Yeah, it's a thing because of the money. And we talked about this yesterday. I also wonder if these... I'm guessing this is kind of conservative in all of it because you would think whoever's the hydration, body armor,
Powerade sponsors whoever, the ones on Fox I was watching yesterday.
You would think, yeah, so they're going to add money into that. They're probably throwing money into the World Cup to be the official, and maybe they raise the price of that because, well, we're going to get the... Yeah, it's all a thing because of the money.
I'm just going to ask you guys one question here. What do the Atlanta Stadium, as they call it, the Dallas Stadium, as they call it, the Houston Stadium, as they call it, and the Los Angeles Stadium, as they call it, all have in common?
They're cities, not sponsors.
One other thing. What do the stadiums all have in common? They all have roofs. They're all domes. Why in the blue hell do you need a hydration break playing indoors in Dallas or Houston or Atlanta? It was never about hydration. It was always about the money.
Hydration should just be a garden hose connected to some PVC pipe with some holes drilled in it. Like
perfect.
We all used to.
Oh, the water buffalo.
Perfect. Yeah, because the players don't want this. Like, why are you taking hydration breaks in Atlanta? You're not playing at Fulton County Stadium.
Things aren't great at Michigan State. Now former Michigan State president Kevin Guskowitz left for Clemson after just 2 years in East Lansing. 2 weeks after his departure, Michigan State athletic director Jay Batt left Monday for the same role after Kentucky. The same role at Kentucky. He was only in East Lansing for a year. Tom Izzo spoke with reporters Monday about that turmoil and is not pleased with the state of things.
I can't stand what's going on. I've had it. This is self-inflicted. We just lost the best president who may have ever been here, maybe one of the best. And there's other dominoes that get affected when things go wrong like that. Yeah, I'm very upset about it, and I'm sick of it. I'll go into why when I decide to say something in the near future. I'll say I'm not going to do it right now. I think 600,000 living alums better start rallying together. If there's ever a time that we need to rally together, it's now. And that's all 600,000. Ain't Tom Izzo. I'm not an alum. I'm like Greg Williams or like, I'm a very invested stakeholder. What happened with our president is ridiculous. He said it. We know the reasons. I'm ashamed. I'm disgusted. Hurt. See what the Spartan Nation feels. Spartan Nation better stand up. I was 600,000.
Thing or not a thing.
So the first thing that jumps out to me, is he the most powerful coach in college athletics in terms of on his own campus?
Yes.
Got to be close. With Saban out, I mean, he's got to be close of just most juice on a campus that Izzo has at Michigan State. I'm not going to be able to tell you if this is a thing or not a thing in terms of just the details of this, because I don't know why the president left. I know that you don't leave Michigan State to go to Clemson, and I know you don't leave. It's kind of, to me, like a parallel down move to go from Michigan State to Kentucky. So what would cause this. I don't know the background on this. The one thing that I do know about the Michigan State circumstances is their two wealthiest boosters don't like each other. That's Ishbia and that's Gilbert. But I don't know if that has anything to do with this or not. So I guess I don't know enough on this to be able to tell you. It's a thing that Tom Izzo is disappointed with his comments. But in terms of how they got there, I don't know the backstory of this.
I think it's a thing that Tom Izzo is still there. And I think it's just how much he loves Michigan State and how much he loves the game of basketball that he is, because it sure seems like everything going on in the world of college athletics, including his own university, is driving him absolutely bonkers. And he hates all of it. And I know Tom Izzo's getting up there in age, so we were probably closer to the end of Tom Izzo than most, but I don't know how much longer Tom Izzo is going to be around and deal with all of this.
He's 71. So, yeah, I mean, all of that is fair. Reese, do you have the backstory on why, what led to all of this exodus? Or is
not
it just typical?
Exactly. It just feels like he was pushed out by their board.
Sounds like their board. I was reading a little bit on it yesterday. It seems like their board is pretty, you know, kind of at war with
fighting
each other.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But nothing. You'd have to get really into the weeds with it, I think, to figure out why. But he was pushed out. And it was one of those things where he landed at Clemson. And so they tried to frame it as he left. But per Izzo's comments, he got pushed.
So I just pulled up, like, their board. They only have two of the people on their... What do they got? Eight people on their board? Six, eight? Yeah, they got eight people on their board. They only have two that are even up for... You know, to continue on. Everybody else is on there through 2020, 2033, 2031, like no time soon. So that's fascinating. That is pretty pointed, though, out of Tommy Izzo. Go ahead.
Something else with all of this is these guys just pushed Jonathan Smith out and hired Pat Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean the leash for Pat Fitzgerald just got a lot shorter?
No clue, but a lot going on up there, obviously. It might be something worth looking into to have a conversation with somebody up there who's covering it here in the next couple of days. We'll hit the real truth coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese, sir. After weeks of legal back and forth, Brendan Sorsby's headed to the NFL supplemental draft. Texas Tech and Sorsby confirmed their parting ways last night. The 22-year-old quarterback had granted an injunction last week on the NCAA's eligibility ruling after it was found Sorsby gambled on sports during his time at Indiana and Cincinnati. There hasn't been a supplemental draft since 2023. The NFL did not comment on the Sorsby news, but will likely hold the supplemental draft in late July. In soccer, World Cup group play continues Tuesday. France and Senegal battle at 3 o'clock. Iraq plays Norway at 6. Team USA looks to build off their 4-1 win over Paraguay. The U.S. men's team takes on Australia Friday in Seattle at 3 o'clock. In baseball Tuesday, the Reds look to make it 2 straight on the Mets. Cincinnati hosts New York tonight at 7:10. 7:40 in Milwaukee, the Guardians battle the Brewers. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Tuesday. We'll kick it off with a little bit of the real truth. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years.
Brendan Sorsby will not play a single snap this season in the NFL. Is that the real truth?
We spent the better part of the first hour talking about the Sorsby situation, his decision, the NCAA kind of maybe learning a way that maybe they can enforce some of the rules that are actually on the books if they actually band together. And then the other thing that we kind of talked about here a little bit was the NFL side of it and which teams would have an interest in a supplemental draft. Look, the smart thing here would be to say that this is not the real truth, that a team that does not have a quarterback of significance will take him in the supplemental draft, and that might end up being the case. I think that this... As I stand here right now in the middle of June, I'm going to go, I think that this is the real truth. I think that if I were to be a betting man, of which, of course, the puns are limitless when it comes to this topic, that he would end up in an operation where they have an established quarterback and that he would basically get a redshirt year in the NFL. The safe thing would be to say that this is not the real truth, that he'll end up on a team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback and he'll be thrust into action sooner than maybe he or they want him to. But I'm gonna roll the dice with my gut on this and say that he's going to be drafted by a good team with a franchise quarterback and he'll be allowed to redshirt this year on that team.
Bo, I tend to believe or agree with you in the fact that I think a team is going to draft him that already has an established quarterback, and it's going to be a good organization that does so, that's going to bring him along slowly. Although, I am starting to think the Arizona Cardinals, this does sound pretty good for them, that they could get a quarterback with their second round pick and then draft a Jeremiah Smith or a Leonard Moore or a Colin Simmons at the top of the draft next year and get a really good player as well. But I think he will play at least one snap, because even if he goes to one of those good organizations, like let's say the Detroit Lions or the Baltimore Ravens, two teams that we have talked about earlier, they're going to be up on a team pretty big late in the year, or late in a game this year and late in the game. I think they'll throw him in just to see where he's at. So I do think that Brennan Sorsby will play at least one snap this year. So this is not the real truth.
Ohio State football will be number one in everyone's preseason top 25. Is that the real truth?
No, that is not the real truth. They're not going to be number one in everyone's preseason top 25. I think they will be no worse than three in everyone's top 25. But I think that there will be some people out there that have Oregon. I think there will be some people who have Georgia. Could be some people who even have Texas again that didn't learn their lesson from a year ago. So I don't think they will be... Everyone's is the differentiator there. But if you were to say they would be the consensus number one team in preseason top 25s, I would say yes, that would be true. But I think that there will be some who have others.
So this might be the easiest real truth ever, because there's so many polls out there. Not everybody. Some people are not going to have Ohio State number one just out of spite. But some people are truly going to believe that Oregon is the best team in the country, or Texas. I mean, you heard Joe Klatt say yesterday that the winner of the Ohio State-Texas game will determine if that team gets to 10 wins or not.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, there's a lot of people out there that think Notre Dame might be the best team in the country this year. Some people are going to say Indiana because they just won it. So this is not the real truth. And Bo, I'm not even sure Ohio State will be a consensus number one in all of the polls this year. So that,
what percentage is needed for consensus?
More than 50%, right?
I need ChatGPT.
This is where it comes in handy.
Yeah, 70%. So 70%.
Yeah, so I don't think Ohio State will be a consensus number one.
Yeah, you might be true.
The Washington Wizards will take Darren Peterson number one next Tuesday in the NBA draft. Is that the real truth?
Okay, so this is... You guys aware, I mean, whoever put this, one of you, you're aware of what's going on. Darren Peterson, who's a Canton kid, who played at CVCA, then went and played at Huntington Prep in West Virginia, then Prolific Prep in California, then went to Kansas, and had one of the strangest freshman seasons of any freshman season that I can ever recall. I saw this kid play as a freshman. Actually sat next to his mom on the flight. Beamsy did. We went down to watch him play. Darren Peterson is only working out for the Wizards. I mean, you need the Windhorse thing, right? I mean, that's kind of what you need here. He's only working out for the Wizards. So, what I'm going to say, this isn't the real truth, Because what I think is happening is Utah is going to trade up to number one. They're going to give Washington, don't they have Ace Bailey?
Yeah.
They're going to give Washington Ace Bailey so that, or something like that, so that Utah can draft DeBonsa number one. Washington will take Peterson number one, number two, and they will still end up with him. It's too much smoke that he's only meeting with one team. It just doesn't make sense unless they are completely confident or a deal has been worked out. So if I had to guess, remember DeBonsa ended up at BYU because Ryan Smith, who owns the Utah Jazz, think of the layers of this. He was part of the NIL package at BYU. He's a big BYU NIL guy, billionaire, owns the Jazz and the Yeti. What are they?
Mammoth.
The Mammoth.
Mammoth. They wanted to be the Yeti. Mammoth. So he owns both those teams. So to me, the only reason Darren Peterson's going to play for the Wizards, but he's not going at number one, that they will do a deal to get something else to drop to two and Utah can get DeBonsa.
It's interesting that you say that, Bo, because that's the only situation to me where this makes any sense at all for Darren Peterson. You already had all the negative publicity around you from your college season when it seemed like you didn't want to play, and then we get the, well, creatine made him cramp type thing. He thought he was dying. It just doesn't, it's not the best look following all that to be like, I'm only working out for this team. I'm going to tend to say that this is not the real truth. That, yeah, there's something in the works here. Utah really wants DeBonsa. They want to keep him out there. I'll go with you on this, Bo.
I think DeBonsa wants to play there, too. I mean, I think he wants to play in Utah, loves it there, loves Ryan's. I mean, it's just too much. There's no logical reason for Peterson not to interview with other teams. I mean, Memphis is picking three. Utah's two. To me, that's it. I just can't see any other scenario why he would do that. Why would you sabotage yourself when already your PR is as bad as it is?
Yeah, you want to be picked in the NBA draft. Like, take every meeting. Take them.
Yeah. I just don't. To me, it's too much smoke.
The Detroit Red Wings will deal center Dylan Larkin before next Friday's NHL draft. Is that the real truth?
Well, we're going to ask Porty about this in about 20 minutes. yeah, I think that you would want to. If I guess. I mean, I'm not on the Red Wings beat, and I'm not following what they do on a daily basis. But if Steve Yzerman is like, okay, fine, we'll give you what you want, and that includes trading you. He asked for more teams for him to be traded to, so maybe that tracks. If you're the Red Wings and you're that front office, you'd want that deal done before the draft, I think, for sure. So I guess I'm not even sure who's picking at the top of the NHL draft. Who ended up winning the lottery?
I think the Leafs have the number one pick.
Oh, that's right.
The Leafs and then the Sharks have number two.
There you go.
Jackets have 14 and the Red Wings are at 15.
So would it be the Sharks where they, I mean, do they feel like they're close? I mean, who would be, you have to think of somebody who would be willing to give up two. Like if you're the Sharks, I would want to pair Celebrini with whoever's at two. So find somebody in the top 5 to 10 who feels like they're close, and that's where you get the Larkin deal.
So I'm going to say that this is not the real truth because of the three teams that Larkin has said he would accept a trade to.
He never expanded that, Bake?
Not that I've heard.
I thought he did last week where Stevie Y went to his agent and said, can we get a couple more? Because Dallas called, and I think the Red Wings were open to it.
So even if it's Dallas, even if he's expanded it a little bit, the only one of those teams that has a pick that's really worth anything would be Florida because they obviously didn't make the playoffs this year. And Florida is in such a cap situation that I don't know. It would have to be some mental gymnastics for Billy Zito to pull that trade off. So I don't know if there's pressure to get it done by next week. Now, I know San Jose has said the number two pick is up for grabs to get help right now for their team.
Mm-hmm.
But does Dylan Larkin want to go there? Can they fit that into their, I'm pretty sure they could fit that into their cap space, but it depends on what he wants to do. So I don't think this is necessarily the real truth. I don't think it has to be done by the draft.
Some of the LeBron reporting on this mentioned the Stars. So he did expand it a little bit. Nobody ever knows what that is, but the teams that he mentioned possibly Montreal, Buffalo, Colorado, Anaheim, would those be teams that would expand, would be open to those type of teams? Those were the ones that were kind of rumored.
And I don't think any of those deals would necessarily have to be centered around those a draft pick.
Those would not. No. It would be the Sharks one at the most. But I don't even know, like, if you're San Jose, does that make sense? Or do you just pair Celebrini with whoever's number two? So we'll get a better feel of all of this with Porty coming up in about 17 minutes from now. NFL mandatory minicamp is still going on down in Cincinnati. This is their week. Katie Blackburn with some thoughts on the pressure that is mounting down in Cincinnati. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Man and Timmy.
I think I may hate geese more than anything else on earth.
More than people?
I think I do. Wow. I hate geese.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny for us today with temperatures warmer and highs in the upper 70s all across central Ohio. And then for tonight, maybe a few stray showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds throughout the day with temperatures topping out in the low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And join us for the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. 5K run, 1 mile walk. It's Saturday at Otterbein. Some of your favorite fan personalities are going to be there. Brother Bone's going to be there. Nephew Tyvus is going to be there. Man's going to be there. Timmy's going to be there. Reese is going to be there. Some 10 TV personalities as well. Every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, and awesome gifts from Logan Services. The Fan 5K is presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. There's still time to register. Sign up today, 971therace.com. Reese, you're running the 5K, right?
Is the 9.71K is what I'm going to be doing.
9.71K?
Yeah, it's a little over 6 miles.
Okay. Who else on our staff is participating in that?
I think Cole is doing that, but I think that's it from our group. Everybody,
good job out of him,
is doing the 5K, and then Mike might be walking the mile. Or briskly walking.
Briskly walking.
Like a what's the walk marathon they do in the Olympics?
I could just see him walking slowly and princess waving to everyone as he goes.
Supposed to be a gorgeous morning Saturday.
Should be
for it.
Lovely. Yeah, not as hot. Shouldn't be good. Are you the best runner on our staff or
Cole,
in the building?
By far is the best.
Oh, Cole is. Oh, I don't know his athletic.
He's 23 and tall?
Yeah, but you do it all the time.
No, but he's got those strides.
But does he run outside of
this? And I've got bad knees.
It's a great question to debate. Does he run outside of this?
I think he'd still whoop my ass.
Like, he might be trying now. He might be warming up, but yeah, I don't think he's a year-round like you.
I'm still taking him. I'm 5.5 feet tall, dude.
I'm betting on
five
Reese.
Or six steps while he takes like one.
I feel like your endurance.
Your endurance would win.
Don't pick me over him. I'm just telling you.
The real question is, what injury does Tyvus come away with from running this 40? Because you know he hasn't been doing anything athletic. He's been on dad duty.
What is his fitness?
Is it an Achilles? Is it a hamstring? What is it?
So the event starts at 8 o'clock, and we're going to start it with Tyvus running a 40-yard dash. His time will be written.
Oh, God.
His time will be written on a whiteboard, and everybody who participates will be also able to, even if they don't want to participate in the other stuff, race Tyvus. See if you can beat his time. And so what I'm really looking forward to are the excuses from Tyvus when people do beat his 40 time.
Okay. He doesn't know what he don't know. He is 32 years of age, and he's going to run a 40 at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
That's a ligament.
Or he's at least committed. So
that's a ligament.
We'll see if something doesn't get pulled before then.
I mean, three steps in, hamstring.
Oh, my God, for sure. Yeah. I mean, is he going to do proper warm-up?
He says cheetahs don't stretch. So that's his line.
He ain't a cheetah anymore.
Well,
big ass cheetah.
He is definitely not a cheetah. He's more like a bear. It's more like a
bears are pretty fast if they have
motivation. They are, but it takes a minute to get them to get moving a little bit. There's no cheetah anymore with him. I think those days are gone. Gosh, man. Well, you got a great day for it. It's going to be spectacular. So that's a big win. Not too hot. Because last year there were some heat stroke issues with people running in silly outfits. So that'll get you. So you're not going to have that. It should be fine.
Hey, we can pick on Tyvus all we want, but I think he'd be a great defensive end for the Aviators next year.
He really would be. He's got that build. He's got a little girth to him now. He's got that build.
Girth.
He can't say he doesn't. I think he's ready to go.
He'd still run probably a 4.7.
I'm going to say he's running a 4.8. If he actually runs this thing, and I think he's going to be 4.8, 4.9.
He's in the fives.
No.
He's in the fives.
What did he run it at the combine?
4.6 at the combine when he weighed 220 pounds.
Oh, my God. Then you're right. Yeah, he's definitely
in the fives.
You're right. It's five. There's no question. 4.6 at the combine?
4.6.
When he was in peak physical condition?
And he swears he'll do it this weekend.
He's not running 4.6 ever. Ever. There's no chance he's ever running 4.6. Speaking of no chance, I didn't think there was ever a chance that the Cincinnati Bengals would behave the way that they've behaved the last two off seasons, but they're all in, and they are doing so because their quarterback they hit the lottery with. And when you have that, you have to take advantage, and they can smell Super Bowl. I think there's real pressure down there. I think, this year, they have a 2-year window to go win the Super Bowl, and they reworked Burrow's contract last week. We talked about that, at the end of the week. It's going to allow them to be pretty malleable in the next couple of months if there are opportunities. One thing to really pay attention for them when it comes to buttressing their roster, you have to remember, some of the stuff that happens in camp that either happens from a cap standpoint or just an abundance of talent standpoint. And so deals can be made there. Now the Bengals can take on some deals on that. So with pressure comes expectations and all of the things that go with it. Katie Blackburn, who is the executive vice president of the Cincinnati Bengals, had an availability yesterday, which is something her dad never does. He only does the turtle soup outing. That's it. He does that one in August. That's it. She spoke yesterday to a small group of reporters. I'm sure guys that we regularly have on. Among the topics of conversation was that pressure, was Zach Taylor, Duke Tobin. Do they believe in him? She said, quote, "We think they deserve another opportunity to prove that we can do what we hope we can do." So they're going to give him one more chance on that at least. She reiterated if it was a make or break year for Zach and or Tobin, we obviously are hoping to have a successful season this year. I know they want to do that as much as I want to do that. I can't predict anything into the future. We're certainly counting on right now having a good season going from there. She added, both Zach and Duke, experienced guys with proven success, really good people, will feel good about them for a lot of reasons. I think there's also that element of consistency that hopefully will prove out to be beneficial too. I think these are the things that we would rather try to take advantage of and build on rather than having to regroup and figure things out a little bit from scratch. So pretty interesting comments from her. I think they're as all in as can be. I think they're as all in as they've ever been. And they are in a win now, let's go try to contend situation. And I would put them right there with Cincinnati and Buffalo. And honestly, if you guys do this exercise, it's an interesting one. Go to our lads, depending on how fast the internet is here at the Ponderosa, hop on the internet and type in our lads Baltimore Ravens, and I want you to look at their offensive depth chart that's on there. And they're going to be pretty dang good defensively, for sure. They will be. But they hired a defensive-minded coach in Jesse Minter. And if you look at their offensive depth chart, look at who's behind Derrick Henry, who, by the way, is 31, going to turn 32. Go look at the receiver depth. Go look at an aging Mark Andrews and who's behind him, and go look at the fact that the Baltimore Ravens have to rebuild the interior of their offensive line. When I looked at this yesterday, I don't see any scenario how the Cincinnati Bengals aren't the prohibitive favorite to win the AFC North. Like, not even close. Their roster's better than Baltimore's.
Yeah, this is a must make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In my opinion, for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'd kind of forgotten who they'd taken in the first round. I'd forgotten some their center. I'm trying to remember. Did he go to Vegas?
Baltimore's?
Yeah.
Linderbaum went to Vegas.
So even with all of that, if Linderbaum's, you know, back as the center for Lamar, I'm still putting Cincinnati head and shoulders in not only the division, but maybe the conference. And it's, I think, better than Buffalo's.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
This, to me, and it's good that, you know, Katie yesterday, I think it was just a small media gathering, called him up, said, hey, we'll give you some comments on what we think about this Cincinnati squad. Giving, you know, the top men in Cincinnati, kind of giving them their blessing for this season. And I don't know if it really has, I don't know if that organization's thinking beyond 2026, because I don't think they can. I think what they have done is we're going to win now. We're going to let everything happen after once it's all done. And I think that's a smart way to play it.
The one thing I will say for the Ravens is the Ravens probably have the best set of weapons that Lamar's ever had this year with, and I know Mark Andrews is getting older, but Mark Andrews and then Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, they drafted Elijah Surratt and Jacoby Lane, who are two guys that I think are pretty good and going to have pretty good NFL careers. But a lot of turnover on their offensive line. They still have their two tackles, but the whole interior of that line is different. The one thing you don't have with the Bengals, and you can say what you want about the Bengals' offensive line, if maybe it needs to be better or whatnot, their whole offensive line is returning.
Yep.
Their whole starting line. So that group has worked together for a few years now. And even like the top three backups have been there before as well. And we already know Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, ridiculous for Joe Burrow and the weapons and the continuity and the rapport that those guys have together. Yoshi Vosh has been there for a while as a good number three. I think the biggest thing for the Bengals is, can they get any running game going to help that passing game?
Yeah.
Their schedule, too, guys, is one of the weakest in the league. It's a top five week schedule in the league this year. Everything is set up perfect for them.
They just need health. They just need health. Yeah, I mean, Baltimore without injury is okay, but, you know, you're talking, I mean, at some point you have to run out of gas, Derrick Henry. At some point, you know, you're going to start to see some things slip. And then a totally remade Baltimore offensive approach, obviously with Monken gone and Harbaugh out, and kind of a big transition year for them. So, yeah, I think it's Cincinnati. Cincinnati's time to go. Is it time for the Blue Jackets to go this summer? We'll get a preview of the offseason with our good buddy Aaron Portsline of The Athletic. He joins us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to head on to the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with our good buddy Aaron Portsline, covers the Jackets and the league at The Athletic. We are having a conversation about Jalen Brunson winning a championship, and he's a great player, obviously, but is going to be immortalized in New York. And so then we were thinking, well, who are guys who are disproportionately loved in their markets that maybe are not appreciated outside of it? And the team of your youth, the Cleveland Browns, have Bernie Kosar, who is beloved. If you applied that to the Blue Jackets, most beloved Blue Jacket who is appreciated and loved here, but maybe not appreciated as much elsewhere, who comes to mind for you there?
Yeah, so you're not talking Werenski, you're not talking Bobrovsky, Nash, guys that have...
Not necessarily. Right? Not necessarily, yeah, Porty.
I would say, I mean, I think there's been eras of that, right? So Nick Foligno jumps to mind. Mm-hmm. Beloved on many levels.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Atkinson, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
I would include the guys I mentioned earlier, of course. You think of the early day Blue Jackets, and geez, the first player they loved here was Tyler Wright, if you can remember back that far, who people in other markets were like, who? Or I hate that guy. But he was their guy. Yeah, I think there's a lot of candidates here. Yeah, I think Charlie Coyle is playing his way into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are guys who have been embraced by the fan base here that maybe people in other markets wouldn't quite understand. The one thing I always do love is when great players come from Columbus and end up somewhere else. It almost seems like a revelation to people in other markets. Like, boy, Rick Nash is a good player.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah, but he's doing things in New York he hasn't done before. No, he isn't. He's done it here before. Players who do tend to fly under the radar a bit.
Where does the Norris going to Z put him in that, right at the top now with Bob and Nash?
100%. Yeah, I think I've been contemplating this. If I need to give Z a little bit of a break here, because there's been a ton of Z headlines for a long time, but maybe sometime this summer we'll dig on this. It's got to be he and Bobrovsky, I think, for arguing as the greatest Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, Bob won two Vezinas, right? Yep. So there you go, goaltender of the year twice. Won a playoff series, so Werenski was here for that. So they both have that. I think Werenski's gold, if you want to include that, the gold medal at the Olympics is huge, right? Mm-hmm. He's now won a Norris. He's finished top 10 in Hart voting twice. He's led the team in scoring as a defenseman twice. I think Werenski's got a really good case to be the greatest Blue Jacket. Nash would be probably, I think, third on that list. So there's your Mount Rushmore. You got one more spot. Maybe it's McConnell.
Yeah, well, that's the other part of it. And then the other thing from a beloved standpoint is Tortorella, who we just saw, in the Stanley Cup final, and you thought maybe that they were going to get a little bit of, it came up a little bit short. But Torts is just beloved here in a way that no other coach has been. Hitch is obviously appreciated a lot too, but Torts was just so beloved here.
Yep. And Bonus is starting to carve his way into the conversation with that performance at the end. Columbus, Ohio is a city for coaches, right? Mm-hmm. It's the college sports imprint. Where the coaches, people see themselves in the coaches a lot more than they do in the players here, because those are the constants in college sports. So the coach thing is absolutely huge. Tortorella, huge. There were people were rooting for the Vegas Golden Knights in Columbus, Ohio. Well, get a hold of yourself, people. It was because of John Tortorella. It was because of Torts.
I've never heard anybody say it that way, and that's why I love you, buddy, because I didn't put that connection together, that it is the college influence of how the coaches stay there, the constant. That's a great job out of you. We watched the Stanley Cup final, and you have two franchises, one of which you could try to emulate, the other one you cannot. You cannot emulate Vegas. Vegas is going to be a magnet for talent. I think it's the glamour franchise in the NHL for now and for probably a while. Carolina, you can emulate. And the irony here, of course, is Don Waddell was there for a decade. When you see what Carolina has done and you think about what Don is trying to do here, do you see parallels?
I think it's just who he is, right? And his stamp is on a lot of that team, if you look at it. So many guys that he acquired, drafted, signed, certainly. Listen, the guys in Carolina right now deserve a ton of the credit. Brendan Moore, all the play, all that stuff. It doesn't work that way. But you also have to recognize that a lot of this team was put together by Don Waddell, his approach. I think you see it in a lot of his sort of cagey moves the last couple of years, just to supplement what he didn't think was a good enough team that needed some help. So you go 2 years ago, you patch with Van Riemsdyk. Last year, you patch with Marchment. And there are others in there. Favreau, right? I think what he's trying to do this summer now is take the big step ahead if he can get it done rather than just continue to patch. But I do think that's just how his way is to build depth, is to build a team that is difficult to defend. Is to order things appropriately. Well, Werenski's got to be the highest paid D. That's why Provorov came in just below him. Where they need help is up front, and they're in a battle with a ton of other teams to get that this summer, most likely trade wise. But so much of that Hurricanes team was traded into place. Again, a lot by Waddell, a lot by the current GM Tolsky. But I think you're going to see him continue to attempt a similar build here. With a lot of players that sort of fit a similar mold.
Porty, if you were to jump into his head and here we sit in the middle of June with a lot of big things coming, draft, free agency, all of it.
Yeah.
The roadmap, how bold is it?
Well, I think it's bold to the point that you like, I think he wants to be bold. I do. I think the challenge is you've got to find somebody on the other end of that. And I think where GMs are finding right now is that because of the salary cap growth, that this summer is not going to be defined by moves that are my bad contract for yours, or I'll unload this bad contract with a sweetener to you because you have room for it. I think it's going to be defined by hockey trades. Mm-hmm. Player for player, that's what GMs are saying. It's not futures. No one's interested in that number 14 pick right now. Yeah. They may be, as the draft moves along, with something. But it's not a player for player thing. It's it is a player for player thing, not a futures for players thing. Everybody's feeling like they can get better this summer. And I'm not exaggerating. I think there's 20, 25 teams that are looking for top six help. And to the point where you're starting to hear GMs now say that they're looking for top nine help, which tells me that within the last few weeks, they've seen what it looks like out there. And they're starting to sort of draw back their expectations a little bit and trying to create three really forceful lines because the hope of landing the big piece up in the top there either isn't going to materialize, or they're going to have to give up so much to give it that it's going to be another hole in their roster.
Did this Larkin news surprise you?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It did. With so much term left on his contract, mm-hmm. that was the surprise there. And, of course, it gets you worrying about number eight a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, well,
It does. It has to. It should. I wrote, and it's interesting what's out there, I wrote a week or so ago that this coming year is really, really important. If they don't win, then next summer could be pretty dicey. And this is all speculation. This is not Zach saying, we better win this year or I'm gone. Mm-hmm. But he has talked about how much he's enjoyed winning and how much he misses it and how much the NHL is sort of the last area on his sheet where he hasn't won a lot. Now, my colleague, Pierre LeBrun, national writer, talks to people, maybe different people than I do, but certainly more frequently than I do. And he's moved the ball ahead a little bit more. I don't have that in my notebook, I'll be honest with you. I'm not mm-hmm. saying he's wrong. I'm saying he's not wrong. Pierre LeBrun is not wrong. But his feeling is that Werenski's decision may be made based upon what the Blue Jackets are able to do this summer, where I've been of a mind that it's what they may be able to do this coming season. So we'll see what the next few weeks hold. This could be a very big stretch here the next month or so for the Blue Jackets.
It's massive. It's massive. It's time. I mean, it's time to go. And as you mentioned, you're talking about 25 teams who kind of all want the same thing. Going to be a fascinating time around the league. I have to compliment you. Your backdrop today seems so peaceful. You got birds singing. It feels like you live.
It's not the master soundtrack either, I swear.
It's just lovely. I just adore it, buddy. So that's nice in the summer to hear that.
Backyard, suburban Granville, Ohio. It is not the master soundtrack either, I can promise you.
It does sound like it. It's really great.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon, pal.
All right. Anytime. Thanks, Bo.
There he goes. Aaron Portslide at The Athletic joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. It did have an Azalea feel to it there with the birds singing in the background. We'll get you three things on a Tuesday up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, we're taking a lot of hell for our jackets list. Maybe we worded it wrong a little bit, but a lot of people not happy that Foligno's not on it. How did we end up on that before we get to the fan poll?
Well, so we had asked who is the most beloved Blue Jackets player of all time. Right now, 36% say Rick Nash. He's leading. You can do Foligno. I saw Cam Atkinson one as well. They're both beloved. Mm-hmm. You could talk Foligno instead of Bob. Would be the, if we could go back and do it again, we would.
I don't think that you can do that, though. And I love Nick Foligno. I was in the NICU with him, and he was a legendary captain, an unbelievable great guy. But, like, Bob was unbelievable.
Also, Johnny Goudreau. So, yeah.
There's no longevity, though, with Goudreau. You know, I don't think he was here long enough. Would he have been? Yes, but
I think we had the four proper ones in terms of all-time beloved Blue Jackets. I think we have the four correct.
If anything, you do Nick over Jody, just because the playing career was more.
Make an argument for Cam. You can make an argument for Nick Foligno. You can make an argument for Panarin. You can make an argument for Tyler Wright, who you heard
Porty mentioned him, yeah. What did it end up crew-wise?
So right now, Frankie Hadek's winning. He's got 28% of respondents.
Yeah, he was absolutely beloved. What do we have on the fan poll?
Daily fan poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, are you okay with ties in sport? I think it's the World Cup had a couple ties yesterday. It was one surprise. I think Spain drew even.
I'm indifferent to it. Where I don't think it should happen in the sports that it's not part of it. We used to have it in hockey all the time. It'd just be a tie before they went to the shootout. Didn't bother me at all.
73% say no. Yeah. Someone's got to win.
Dumbest thing ever. I think it's the absolute dumbest thing. Like, if you were doing a puzzle and you got about 10 pieces away from finishing, would you stop? It doesn't make any sense.
So I misspoke because Spain did draw even with Cape Verde.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the other three matches were draws. Belgium and Egypt 1-1, Saudi Arabia, Uruguay 1-1, Iran, New Zealand 2-2.
I think the pushback for people in both hockey and soccer is, okay, fine, but then your means of determining a winner becomes something that is not a normal part of the run of play, a shootout or a PK. And so that should not be the way. Like in the Stanley Cup, they don't do that. They play until somebody wins. And that's, I think, the pushback the other way, that if you're not playing for like an ultimate thing, then is it right to finish a game and give a result and a winner and a loser based on something that is, in some people's minds, gimmicky? But anyway, that'd be the argument. Time for three things. Hit it, fellas.
One, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So NBC is up at Cedar Point playing in a team camp, not AAU, through our school. Now, he's going to be a freshman, and so he's with the varsity and the junior varsity, and he's up there playing in this tournament. My wife is behaving as if he is playing basketball in Croatia. Full panic. Are you hydrating? Are you eating? When are you going to bed? Have you done this? Have you done that? I'm like, he's not that far away. He's with his buddies. So they put four people in a room. She's like, who could sleep that way? I'm like, that's how we all used to do it, Mom. That's how we all used to do it. You just jam people in a room, you sleep for 6 hours, and then you go and play sports. God bless her. God bless her.
Yeah, like college dorms, frat houses.
Yes.
Sleep, all of these things. Just cram people in, and you move on with it.
Hydration break.
I had said earlier about the World Cup matches yesterday, World Cup matches today in one of my updates. I forgot to mention Argentina is looking, well, I guess they're going to begin the defense of their World Cup. They've got Algeria at 9 o'clock at Arrowhead Stadium. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A little late, but still cool.
So I know that we have talked about, Bo, you and Uncle Dom, going on a trip to Italy and recording all of this for the socials and everything, but I have a new number one thing that I need now.
Oh, God.
Bo and Dom head to Incarceration Music Fest at the Mansfield Reformatory Prison.
Oh,
and
God.
We not only see you guys watching bands that normally play at Sonic Temple and things like that, but also doing the Reformatory tour. All of this filmed by Tyler and Alexi and our great digital team. This is my new number one in life.
Great. Fantastic. I remember as a kid, like, we would like go on like these drives around Montana, and like my parents would act like it was a vacation to go to the old Montana State Penitentiary. Who the hell takes an 8-year-old into a penitentiary? I still have nightmares from it. When they hit the thing and then it all locks and you're stuck in there? What if they forget to let you out?
I mean, this would be classic.
No, I don't know. He's texting me with all sorts of ideas. I don't know what the hell. This could end up being a really bad thing.
Well, throw incarceration by him. See what
says. I'm glad you really want me to be incarcerated, Bank. Thanks, team player. You want to kick Buddy Garrity while you're here? Number two for me. So the boys, the report cards came in, and really proud of them. They did great. So one thing I like to do is I like to surprise them with a reward for exemplary behavior. It doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, so it's special. So I told the two littles who are here, and NBC's at overnight camp, so I said, you know, I'd like to get you something. So Bootsy goes, okay, I'll take that, and he had like a list. Beamsy goes, well, Dad, Mom already got us something. And that's the difference.
Teamwork.
Honest Abe.
That's the difference.
I take a lot of notes when I'm on the air, and someone's notes, they just scribble. And so I'd forgotten what my first thing was going to be, so I kind of just panicked and pivoted to the FIFA World Cup. But I saw this, and I think it's worth having a discussion sometime this week. Patrick Ewing and John Starks are getting New York Knicks championship rings for 2026. And I know there have been talk about Spike Lee, about Stephen A. Smith, about getting the same ring that Jalen Brunson's going to get. And I think if you did not play on this team or coach on this team, like, Chris Gent should get a ring. Stephen A. Smith should not get the same ring that Chris Gent gets or that Jalen Brunson gets. Similarly, Patrick Ewing and John Starks. Guys, you didn't play.
One of my favorite comedians is Sebastian Maniscalco. He has a great bit where he goes, aren't you embarrassed? Like, you're going to wear it? Come on.
If Stephen A. Smith gets a ring, Reese, so should Danhausen. Final thing. Yeah. Rothman and Ice coming up next. We've got Bobby Carpenter in for AR today with Maddie. They'll talk the Brennan Sorsby situation with Ryan Roberts at 1:30 and his supplemental draft prospects. Ian Fitzsimmons stops by at 2:30 as well.
You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Save big on landscaping projects at Menards. Transform your outdoor living space with easy, no-cut block projects. From fire pits and grill stations to planters and fountains. We offer hundreds of free project plans that are easy to build with no block cutting required. Check out our huge selection of concrete landscaping block at Menards. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.